And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's the little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
Hello, and welcome to Is This Good? The show where we boldly, conclusively, and scientifically decide what things in this big wide world are good. I'm Ann Austin, and with me, as always, is production powerhouse Jason Doyle.
Hello.
Hi, JD. Thanks for coming. And I've known today's guest since he had a shaved head and parked in my college building's garage to save money on parking. He once drove me to the suburbs so I could do a class report on the first Krispy Kreme to ever open in Canada. And he's the only person I trust to evaluate whether I'm supinating or pronating. From No Dunks, the greatest basketball podcast on the planet, it's Tass Mellis. Tass, welcome to Is This Good?
Great to be here. Aren't you going to say thanks for coming?
Thanks for coming.
I think it's supinating, Matt. Also,
you think I'm pronouncing it wrong?
Yeah. Also,
so back when you used to work at Sport Check, the Canadian sort of Foot Locker, you said supinating like it was a delicious clear broth.
I sure did. 90% of people are pronators. I'd say like 2% of people are supinators. 90's heavy. It's probably less.
So, and then only 8% of people are striking right in the middle of the foot?
Yeah, I've got the perfect
motion.
It's really? 90's high, but you know, pronation is natural, I would say. Mm-hmm. For me, searching for cheap parking, also natural. So thank you for allowing me to park at Wood Street, Wood Ave, Wood Road, Wood something.
Actually, Tess, you just sort of put this together in my head that later in the show we're going to be talking about people that are getting things for free from someone else. So maybe we could talk about your experience parking for free in my building. and certain demands that may or may not have been made.
Wow.
Can't wait. All right. So supinating, pronating depends where you put your foot lands when you run. If you just looking at JD, Tassie, what do you think he is?
Well, it's more your gait rather than where
I know, but you're so good at it. I feel like you could just look at him and know whether he was a pronator or a supinator.
Just by me shuffling around this classic factory.
Yeah, I've seen JD's feet a lot. JD has gone through a range of footwear over the last few months. Sometimes he will produce shows barefoot.
Yep, that's true.
No problem. Right now he's wearing
Okay, the barefoot running movement, JD. But we have moved past that. We're in max stack height, as I'm sure Tass knows if he keeps up with the trades.
No idea.
Are there pickleball-specific shoes like there are tennis shoes? I guess it would just be tennis shoes.
Yeah, they're starting to... I think like Skechers has released
honestly,
a line.
Stop there. And that's perfect.
Exactly.
We need to know.
I think they've literally taken their mall walking line and just repurposed them, and now they're pickleball shoes. So
you got some nice Adidas. Well, also, your Adidas to keep going through your footwear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
those are your pickleball shoes.
Yeah, I think those are Nikes, aren't they? I'm not sure.
Well, we just need some lateral support. That's why I don't think these walking shoes are going to be good. Tass, are you back and refreshed from your family vacation?
Yeah. Yes, I went to Choo Choo.
Or do you need a vacation from your vacation?
I came to work to get some rest.
Choo Choo Chattanooga.
Is that where you were?
Small little gem. You ever been?
I have been actually to Choo Choo Chattanooga because it's midway between Atlanta and Nashville, so I stopped there.
Yeah, and midway in between Atlanta and Chattanooga is a Buc-ee's. They plant these things perfectly. That was a great stop, great start to our trip. We were supposed to be there for 2 days. We only stayed for one. Where'd you go then? Back home.
Buc-ee's,
oh, interesting, because from what I remember listening to the No Dunks program, they said Tassie's extending his vacation by an extra day. Now I'm hearing you collapsed it by a day.
Well, I didn't collapse it by a day. I collapsed it by night. So we just didn't want to sleep in a hotel with kids. So we did two full days, and we didn't extend it a full day. I had other things to do,
other commitments,
other summer commitments. But Chattanooga was great. Loved it.
So, Tassie, you don't know this yet because you have not heard it, but JD and I talked about the Barbie movie last week's Great Beyond, which is a Patreon only, but go to patreon.com/isthisgood. You can get a free trial. You can listen to that. But in that episode, we talked about how when I went to see Barbie, I saw a poster in the movie theater for My Big Fat Greek Wedding Part 3, and I sent it to you, and we were joking about it, and I got to know. Have you seen Part 1 and Part 2, and do you plan on seeing Part 3?
I have seen both Part 1 and Part 2.
As I suspected.
Part 2 was bad enough. I'm shocked that they're doing a Part 3. I guess everything gets brought back, but you also noted that it's in theaters. It's not just a straight to digi, which I was shocked by, but I guess there's enough people to watch it.
It was a huge hit.
Number 1.
Number 1 was.
Number 2 tanked.
Did it?
I thought so.
Yeah.
Was Fatone in the first one or just in the second one?
He's in both.
Fatone, Joey, if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, the Joey the Fat one is a small, very small role.
Oh, okay.
Both.
He's Angelo? Or does he just... What's the line you're always quoting?
You love it. You quote it more than I do. Enzo.
Well, look, as I said to JD, I was like... Or maybe I didn't make this point exactly, but as a Jewish person, you know... Certainly we're a minority in North America in general. We're talking 1% about. But yet I see myself represented on television in the movies all the time. I'm in Seinfeld, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I mean, there's always a Jewish character in most stuff. Well, not always, but a lot of the time. Especially relative to how few of us there are. Guy, I just realized I'm curbing into like everyone's conspiracy theory about Jews. Like, well, why are they everywhere, huh? All right. Well, George Soros is the president of the AMPTP, right? And okay, anyways, but as a Greek person, you don't get to see yourself on TV a lot. So I would think Big Fat Greek Wedding was big. Maybe Get Him to the Greek. Was that big in the community?
Get Him to the What are your top five Greek-based movies?
Yeah, top five Greek-based movies.
I get it, Matt. I get it. You get me on here. You don't know what to talk to me about. So talk. You're right, though. So that's why this will probably do well. That's why they're making a third one. So you have some very valid points. The Greeks don't get to see themselves on TV very often. I get to see myself on a screen very often. So I'm good. But you're right. They bring back the same characters, too.
Of course. I mean, you got to have Nia Vula. No, is she Vula?
Nia Vardalos is, she's not a Vula.
Tula. She's Tula.
You know this movie way better than I do. Yeah, I blocked out the number 2 from my head. That's why I was shocked. I've watched the preview but a while ago, and no, I'm not watching this. It peaked in the first one. When Joey Fatone and some other character looked at Angelo, who was the groom-to-be, pretty sure, and they said together, "Hey, Angelo, we're going to kill you." That's your line. That's your favorite line. I can't.
Well, it's either that or season 2 of The Wire, right? That's pretty much all you got right now.
Is that all we got right now? There's got to be a Greek out there doing some stuff.
There's got to be a Greek out there. Maybe I should have asked you to prepare. But
Stamos is kicking ass.
John Stamos is everywhere.
John Stamos is everywhere.
Is he? What's he doing?
He was a chef in a live-action A Little Mermaid.
Oh.
But was his character Greek? You know, that's what I'm saying.
No.
Yeah, right. You know?
He got
to have some representation.
No, yeah. He was French, obviously. Les croissants.
I thought that song wasn't in the new Little Mermaid.
No, there was a live action last year.
What? Oh. Les croissants is... Isn't that Beauty and the Beast? No, what is that?
No. It's, Le croissant. That's,
Okay.
Moving on.
They're baking croissants in the ocean? Or is this when she goes,
this is when
she gets
on
feet?
Land. Half the movie is
By the
on
way,
land.
Tass, the Little Mermaid, when she got the legs, Supinating or pronating?
This is a real taco taco situation. Have you seen their mermaid Netflix documentary?
Yeah. I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah, so it's about people who perform as mermaids in North America. That's great. You know, a little long, no doubt.
Okay.
No doubt, but it was very interesting.
Before I move on, can I just say that Greece is the country, has a lot of islands, a lot of places for a mermaid to sort of sun themselves on the rocks. Mm-hmm. So maybe that's the angle. Mermaid stories from here on out, they're Greek.
Sure.
Yes.
Were the sirens not mermaids? Or mermaid adjacent, at least?
Great point, JD. Were they, though? They weren't. Because how could he... Like, the whole point of the sirens is they sang the song to Odysseus.
Right.
And he had such a big boner that he crashed his ship, right?
Yeah.
And why would he want to... I'm sorry to be crude, but have sex with people that have no bottom parts to them.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yep.
I guess Odysseus was into mouth stuff. All right, can we move on?
Yeah. Well, what was the movie that won Best Picture? That was, I could be totally wrong, but, you know, a few years ago, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, there was sex with a...
Shape of Water.
Shape of Water.
Yeah.
So you're saying that the fish in that was Greek. Greek's also great. You go to a Milos, you're getting great fresh fish. So there's another avenue for you.
Milos?
Milos?
Captain Milos?
It's a chain of, not a chain, but there's a few of them in the world. They're from Montreal, that's why I know them. Tass, do you mind if I speak directly to the people listening to this in the No Dunks feed? I ask for your permission as...
In the No Dunks feed? Yeah.
No Dunker.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Totally acceptable.
Okay, because you know this just in the Is This Good feed, but it's also in the No Dunks feed.
Yeah, so
I'm aware.
I'm aware.
They're listening in the No Dunks feed.
Yeah,
I want to say
this is the perfect
thank
time.
You?
First of all, I like it's a nice move doing your promos about 8, 10, 12, 14 minutes in, depending on the person.
Yeah.
This is probably 5 minutes in.
We don't do them at the start.
I like that.
Yeah. Great. It's good. You keep them off balance.
Really suck them in, Marc Maron, you know? Really?
Yeah, I don't know. A lot of people skip the first 12 minutes of Marc Maron, so hopefully they're not
100%.
Doing that. Hopefully they stuck around to talk about whether mermaids are all Greek. All right, so we have our own feed. Our own Is This Good feed, and you should subscribe to it now. You're saying, why? I could just listen to this in the No Dunks feed. Number one, not going to last forever. At the end of the summer, when Tassie and the boys go back to talking about the old orange ball, this is going to go away, and it'll only be available in our feed. But more importantly for right now, if you're only listening to this in the No Dunks feed, you are missing an extra show every week. That show is called The Great Beyond. It's an Is This Good spinoff. It's in the same feed. I do it with JD. It's basically about two friends who used to see each other every single day and now only see each other maybe once, twice a year. And we catch up and talk about very dumb things. For instance, in the last couple weeks, JD, here's some things we've covered.
Okay.
Top of the head. We've covered hosting our own music festivals based off a couple that won the lottery
right.
and hosted their own music festival in Devonshire, England, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about how the romance is gone between the resident and the cable installation guy.
Yep.
You know, there's not that dance anymore of trying to pay them off.
No bribery.
Talked about no bribery, the glory days of HQ Trivia. We talked about husband meals. Oh, we talked about the Miranda Lambert selfie controversy, and we put those selfie takers in their place. We talked about the correct way to open a pack of gum.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about, we saw if JD could tell the difference between an AI-written headline and headlines that appeared in The Onion.
I could not.
We talked, he could not. We talked about Barbie and Mission Impossible. We're going to talk about Oppenheimer soon.
Mm-hmm.
You guys like Barbie, right?
Oppenheimer test. There's another Jew on film. I don't know if that's our best. I mean, I don't know. Well, I have to see the movie, then I'll tell you if we're proud of old Robert J.
Read the book?
No, I didn't read the book. I went to Los Alamos, though.
Oh, okay.
New Mexico.
Yeah.
Not a great experience.
No?
No. Very boring. Maybe I'll talk about it when...
it's no Hoover
I say
Dan.
Very boring. I'm like, but if you want to hear about it, subscribe to Is This Good wherever you get your podcasts. Patreon.com/isthisgood. That's where you can join the Discord. You can get exclusive extra shows like the one we did last week. You can grab merch at isthisgoodpod.com. JD's wearing it right now. Pop that shirt, JD. Yeah. Oh, you can even hear that popping on the popping harder than a pea into that microphone. And you could send topics for future shows to isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Subscribe on YouTube. That's where you'll see JD popping that shirt. Tassie.
Yes.
Let's bring it back to you for a second. The premise of the show is very simple. I'm going to give you a topic. You tell me if you think it's good. Here we go. First topic. Jaron J asks, pay it forward chains, are they good? So Jaron wrote me an email. He says, hello, Matt and JD. And I'm sure, of course, he would say hello to you, Tass, if he knew you were going to be here. I have long debated the virtues of a pay it forward chain at coffee shop drive-thrus. It has probably happened to everyone at least once. You go and order your drink, drive up to the window ready to pay, only to be told that the car ahead of you has paid for your order. This news, while nice and enjoyable for a brief moment, comes with the anxiety-inducing moment of silence when the barista holds there, waiting for you to offer the same courtesy to the car behind you. Is it truly a nice gesture if you are expected to keep the chain going? Or are you simply playing coffee order roulette, hoping the car behind you didn't order more than you did? So I ask, are pay it forward chains good? And now I should also say, these are in the news. I'm making air quote marks. Of course, I think you should leave season 3. That's something we needed a third season of, not necessarily my big fat Greek wedding.
I'm with you.
Where there's that sketch where he goes through a pay it forward chain, then once he realizes the chain's happening, skirt, goes right around so he can order 55 burgers, 55 fries, 55 tacos, 55 pies.
And I'm on, doing and on, something. And
I'm doing something here. Now, this is a bit how we once had that argument about how does an ATM work, because before that sketch, the I Think You Should Leave sketch comes on, and I told Jill we were doing this topic, she reminded me that long ago I asked her, how does a paid forward chain work? I don't even understand. How do you know what the person behind you has ordered? Right?
Right.
Well,
but I think I get it now because they've put in the ticket
it's
already.
It's stacked. Yeah. They've stacked it. Yeah.
It's already set into the microphone. Yeah.
All right. So Tassie, has this ever happened to you?
No, it's not.
Really? It's not. And do you like a drive-thru?
I love a drive-thru. Yeah.
Really? You're the most environmentally conscious person I know.
Well, I'm going in my electric car.
Yeah, that's true. You get a pass. That's true.
I recycle as much as I can from that disgusting amount of packaging we get. But I got kids.
Yeah.
So, you know, we're skimping out on meals and we're buying stuff. It's more for them.
Mm-hmm.
God, I got so many damn Happy Meal toys. I got mounds of Happy Meal toys.
What are they giving out these days? Anything good?
No. I mean, characters from movies, I have no idea.
Oh, yeah. It's all, there's a tie. Always tie-ins.
Always tie-ins. They're
the
always
chef that
selling
makes
something.
The croissants from Little Mermaid? Great toy.
Yeah, actually, it should come with an Oikos yogurt. John Stamos sells Oikos yogurts. There's your tie.
Yeah.
But this has never happened to me. I almost feel like they don't exist.
No, you're so wrong, because all you need to do is a simple Google. For instance, 2020. Okay, I know that was a few years ago. 900 people paid it forward at a Dairy Queen in Minnesota. I saw another one that was like 720 cars in St. Pete, Florida. Okay?
Okay.
Sorry, 900 in a row on one day?
Yeah.
Okay,
no,
well,
over
that was
2 days.
Organized. That was organized.
No, it wasn't organized.
It just happened.
It just happened
it's
organically.
These guys. Minnesotans
but how
are,
would you feel if your car 888 and they say this has been going 888 cars?
Yeah,
you're gonna pay it forward.
Yeah, well then you're doing it. That sounds like a bit.
I'm not doing it. I'm breaking this chain.
You're breaking the chain.
Yeah,
I'm breaking the chain. I don't even understand why it's good. It's only charitable for the very first person because they're paying for their order. Let's say we're at Starbucks here. They're paying for their $7 coffee and the $7 coffee of the person behind them. That's $14, but it's only $7 extra. The next person, you're getting your coffee for free and paying forward $7. You're net zero. You're carbon neutral.
No, you're getting paid in good vibes. You're getting,
it's good vibes.
It's good vibes.
I don't think why is it good vibes to get something, spend the same amount of money you were going to spend anyway?
Yeah, you're 100% right. It's technically, it just cancels itself out. This has happened to me once.
Yes.
And I didn't actually I was so taken aback. And this is my move. Like, this is one of the reasons I always carry cash. And I always pay cash at a drive-thru now. Because I put an end to it immediately.
Nice,
I ordered a coffee. And they were like, oh, actually, the people in front of you already paid for your coffee. And I was like, great. I had a $5 bill in my hand, and I gave it to the worker, and I said, that's for you then. And I drove away.
Oh. And I would stand, but my head might go out of this frame.
That's a great deed.
Yeah. I mean, JD, give it to the worker. Now, that made me feel good.
You did exactly. So, like, baristas hate pay it forward chains.
Oh.
Like, there's a long history of them expressing anger on social media.
Okay.
So they said that the best thing to do when you get to a pay for it, because they hate it because it's complicated to keep track of like who's paying for what, and no one tips is their biggest problem with it. So they say exactly what you did, JD. You take what you were going to spend on your coffee, you slide it across the counter, you say, that's for you. Or what I would suggest is, if someone pays for your coffee, okay, you break the chain. Then let's say you go get an, okay, I don't know. I have transport to Norman Rockwell times for a second here. But you go to the corner store to get the paper. And the person behind you is getting the paper. You pay for their paper.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like in a more unexpected, less structured way that will actually make that person smile. And that person doesn't have to do anything for the person behind them. Then they go out and pay it forward. I think this is what Haley Joel Osment really wanted us to do.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
By the way, has anyone seen that movie?
No.
Yeah, I saw it when it came out, I guess.
Oh, gee.
When it came out on VHS, not in the theater.
Oh, okay.
I think you're underestimating the amount of good vibes, period. I mean, you are just... it's sort of forced interaction. I know you're not really talking to anybody, but you kind of feel good. I get this 900... car thing or this 900 ticket thing, it sounds made up. It sounds like it was organized.
It's made up. Why was it on CNN? Well maybe because CNN is fake news.
No, how dare you, George Soros. I shouldn't have said made up. I meant planned. I think it was an organized event. The happenstance of being in a drive through, you pay for somebody behind you, and it ends there. I mean, those are good vibes.
But why would you organize something like that? Like, what to what end? Other than good
setting
vibes.
Setting the record?
But it's just, yeah. Can
we get the guy from Guinness over here? We're about to set the record for paying it forward. What if you, Tess, you're in the line, you're like, oh, this is good vibes. Someone just bought my coffee.
Yeah.
You look in the rear view, it's a guy driving a Maybach. Okay, I don't know
Maybach
a lot about cars,
music.
But that's an expensive car.
Yeah,
he's supinating in his Maybach. And do you think that guy needs your money?
Well, if you're in a drive-thru, nobody really like you're buying the least expensive type of food.
We haven't even talked about this. So the original guy gets a coffee, says I'd like to pay for the guy's coffee behind me. You get a coffee. Now the guy behind you orders a coffee, a donut, and a banana bread. Now it's like $20. Why should you pay for that man's gluttony?
Gluttony? Maybe he's got his kids with him. Maybe he's, you know, getting some banana bread and smoothies.
You know what they should get from Starbucks, JD? A hard-boiled egg, okay? They have those, single serving. That's what's appropriate for kids to eat in the morning.
Hey, man,
not a goddamn cake pop in the shape of a Pikachu.
A hard-boiled egg that's been sitting in the fridge for 5 hours after it's been boiled. You're right. It's delicious. That's what kids should be eating. But yeah, the gluttony is a good point. You're not doing anybody a favor by buying them crap. You'd be doing them a favor by getting out of your car, knocking on their window, and saying, you should go somewhere else to get your nourishment. You know, like you're right. You're right about that.
I did that, Tessie, one time with a guy, because it's a true story. There was a Maybach behind me. I got out, and I knocked on his window, and he rolled the window down, and he looked at me, and he goes, do you have any gray poupon? That was a long walk for that one, but worth it.
Me.
All right,
you
so what do you think the people say, Tessie? You say this is a nice act of charity, but we polled the people on Twitter. No. I think over 750 people answered this, almost as many as participated in the Dairy Queen Pay It Forward chain.
No, they said it's not good. They said it's not good, and I totally get it.
81% of people, Tessie, a landslide.
Said not good.
Landslide. Said not good.
Okay, well.
Yeah,
right.
And now here we go. We're going to get to another question that is sort of about charity. Well, actually, it's literally about charity. Ryan W. asks, asking work colleagues to donate to your cause of choice is this good? So we've all been here before. Tass comes in, he says, I'm doing a 5K fun run. Mm-hmm. Okay, for, I don't know. Like, well, I was going to say cancer, but that's probably a pretty good cause.
Yeah, whatever cause probably. It is, just say it's cancer. And
just
it's
say
good.
It's cancer.
Yeah.
Okay, but no, versus like, it's for his kid's school or something like that. You know what I'm saying? Now I feel like I'm an asshole if I don't participate, if
Absolutely.
I don't give my own test.
Huge
so, Tassie,
asshole.
What do you think about this? Soliciting in the office for charity, what do you think?
If I'm the solicitor, if I'm asking for donations, I don't feel great about it. But at the same time, I think it needs to be done. I've got no problem with it on either side. I think it's good. I think it's really, it is an act of service. And that's that. It should be simple as that. It definitely feels very strange. I had a high school kid come up to my door and ask for money for their football program. And I thought, American sports in schools need more money.
Yeah.
Like, luckily, I pulled the JD and I had cash on me.
Yeah.
And because he wasn't taking card. He was only taking cash. And
no Zelle, no Venmo? What is this?
Are you sure?
I thought these kids were supposed to be online.
Yeah, is this legit or what?
Yeah, I don't know. He was also.
Did you get a chocolate bar or was this
just
give me money?
He was handing out coupons. You know,
for what? For a free back rub?
No. You know those like there's. No, this happens a lot. You get like a sheet of coupons. Like fast food spots. Go to Arby's for two meals for $7.99. If you give me money, you're going to save money in the long run. With these coupons, you know, business by business. I felt, you know, it's just that I didn't like that cause. If he said cancer, cool. Here you go.
What if he said something like the orchestra, the school orchestra?
Oh, or, yeah, that feels right.
That's true. Yeah, music is underfunded in America.
Absolutely. The arts, sure. You don't need more Friday Night Lights, kid. and what about your concussions, kid?
Yeah.
I gave him money. I gave him the money.
Yeah. You pay him $5 to come sit into your house and watch Concussion with Will Smith with you?
I never watched that.
No, I didn't either.
Same.
I was about to, and then the slap happened, Tass. Now I can't take it seriously anymore. You know, it's just so hurtful to me.
Anyway, I'm fine with it. There is sort of like the pay it forward chain. There's a moment of being taken aback or, you know, having that awkward feeling. If you're not going to donate to a colleague or something, but in the end, I think the act of donating to something, it's fine. And we all need a little bit more awkwardness and a little bit more human interaction. So sure, I'm good with it.
Okay, but JD, what about if I'm like, I want to contribute to the charities I want to contribute. I don't want to contribute to the charity that you've decided to do a fun run for.
Well, then you can say no. I think it should be fine to say no, or I've already given to this. Could just lie and say, oh, I gave to the American Cancer Society already or whatever.
Right.
You know.
Well, there was a little LinkedIn article I saw because, you know, in the corporate world, this is some dumb shit thing that they need to talk about, like soliciting in the office, right? So these are some excuses, not excuses, but ways you can turn someone down.
Right.
Okay. So now you're my good friend, my colleague. We work together every day. You say, can you donate money to this? I'm doing this fun run. I say, my budget won't allow me to contribute right now. Okay. They said, here's another option. I have already allotted my charity budget for the year.
Mm.
You feel good about that?
No.
You're like, oh, Matt's, that was very reasonable the way he turned me down. Does it make a difference to you how hard the thing the person is doing is? You know what I mean? Like, you're going to walk for 5K versus run a marathon, let's say.
No, it doesn't bother me. Let's be honest. If this happens to me, I'm absolutely giving that person money. It doesn't matter the cost. And not only that, I'm looking at the list and seeing what everybody else is giving and making sure that I'm slightly more than everybody else.
Well, you know, a really good human donates anonymously.
Right. But for, you know,
especially if you're donating way less than somebody else, you got to keep it anonymous.
That's right.
You got to keep it anon. Have you been in the position, Tass, where you've had to solicit? I mean, your workplace now is four people, but where you've had to solicit things for your kids, like selling Girl Scout cookies or anything like that?
Yeah, I would never do it. I don't feel comfortable doing it. I would just, I have, and I would never have extended it to anybody. I just pay enough to get to that red line, that mm-hmm. fundraising goal myself.
Yeah.
And call it a day.
So you're buying like 100 boxes of Samoas?
And I'm donating those. Yep. No, I've never.
You're paying them forward?
My girls have never been guides. So I've never had to taste that tasty, tasty coconut of a Samoa. Mm. That's that one, right?
Yeah,
that's that one.
Yeah, I always get them mixed up. What about this middle ground of soliciting digitally, like sending an email instead of like, you know, I think it's a middle ground. It's easier to say no to an email asking for money versus, you know, somebody asking you in person, coming to your office, knocking on your office
I would
door.
Say it's lazier, though. It's just like you're just sending out an email blast. It's putting in no effort. At least come face to face with your hat in hand. You know what? Maybe I'd like it more if people had their hats in their hands.
Literally have the hat.
Literally put your hat in your hand. Sir? Doff it, and then doff it to me.
Yeah, that would be awesome. That's why you carry cash, JD, right? Just to throw it in.
Have your kids roped you into this, JD? They've been in school in America for a long time.
Yeah, never. It's never come
up. What the hell? Well, they were angry. They should be more charitable.
Well, they were homeschooled for a long while, so
that's the reason why, right?
That is the number one reason we homeschooled, to avoid
collecting. They went to you. They went to Rachel. They say, we'd like to meet our charitable fundraising goal of $5, so I can go to the arcade and get some quarters.
When it's your kids and it's like a charitable, even like Girl Scout cookies are different because you're actually getting, there's an exchange of goods. It's like either I want them or I don't want them, but I'm getting cookies out of the deal. But if it's just like raising money for the football team or whatever else, it's just, it's got to be what Tass experienced. That kid has to just hit the pavement and go out and get those sales. Go door to door. Because that's how we had to do it in my day.
Oh, like, 100%. Terry Fox run? You kidding me?
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Going door to door.
Door to door. I had to go door to door selling apples for the Cub Scouts. Apples. Ooh, who wants to buy an apple from a child at your door? Like, unsolicited.
Ugh. I mean, that's like a bag of apples? Yeah, or you were just like holding it like Snow White style?
They called it Apple Day, and it was like a basket of apples. And we all had to go around and try to sell apples to people. That's how old
At least
I am.
We had Florida oranges, JD, living in cold, snowy Montreal.
Okay.
They import Florida oranges.
How exotic.
So exotic. My God. The color. The shape. I've never seen such a thing. We've just been making snowballs. That's all we have here.
How did you put those razors in an orange? That must have been hard.
It's difficult. You have to peel them and then reconstruct the peel. Very complicated.
So you're getting donations and handing out oranges. You're selling oranges, basically.
No, the oranges was more like within the school who would like to buy some oranges. But Terry Fox Run was...
Yeah.
Hello, my name is Matt. I am running in the Terry Fox Run to raise money for Terry Fox. All right. 51% of people say asking work colleagues to sponsor you in a charity event is
good.
What do you think, Tassie?
Good.
Not good.
Not good. I mean, this was a real splitter.
A real splitter. Yeah, I don't even think it was, I think it was 50 points. Oh, no, it was like 51.3 or something like that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
All right, Tassie, we got to move on. But when people need help navigating life's biggest decisions, they seek our wise counsel, and we deliver an airtight verdict. It's time to settle this. Reminder, if you need advice or have found yourself in a quandary or a pickle, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Tell us what's going on, and we will help you, just like we're about to help this person. The No Dunks crew often promote Playback, a service where you can watch a game with them as they comment on the action. Using Playback requires a TV service. Here's the problem. I have YouTube TV, but it's through my girlfriend's brother, and I've forgotten the password. When I asked my girlfriend to get it from her brother, she refused to ask because she says, quote, "We should act like we don't have it." I thought about asking myself, but we rarely speak, so it would be very awkward. Settle this. Is it wrong to ask for the password? If you're using someone else's service for free, should you just be thankful, shut up, and not burden them with any requests? That's from Benton A. And I will say that I have been in this situation before, but Tassie, I'm curious. What do you think? Would you... First of all, let me ask, do you mooch any services off anyone? Or do you pay for them all yourself?
Absolutely. Yes. From moms out there, from dads out there, from I feel like a lot of people get their TV subscription from either their mom or their dad or...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mooch.
Do you think this is what the plot of my Big Fat Greek Wedding 3 is going to be about?
Toolus. You borrow
Toolus
in Voola's
password.
And Nick
from Joey Fatone.
Hey, what's your password, Joey? We're going to kill you. Caps lock. He only had like
you
one line.
You ask for the password that I gave you? For free?
Yeah, that's the thing.
We're going to kill you.
Yeah.
Okay, so would you ask? Would you ask
Benton,
in this scenario?
Benton, writer Benton, don't get too Benton out of shape over this. They gave you the password in the first place.
Uh-huh.
So Benton feels uncomfortable re-asking because at one point they did. So this request, as Benton put it, I mean, it's already been fulfilled once upon a time. I don't get his girlfriend's point where she said, let's act like we don't have it. What's the benefit of that? Just not to bother her brother, I suppose, is the only thing, because it doesn't prohibit YouTube TV from seeing who logged in. Like I know Netflix is cracking down on people logging in, but you're still getting pinged when you log in. So I don't get the benefit. They did pass it to you once upon a time. You got to ask. You got to ask.
Well, let me give you the other side of the coin, Tassie.
Yeah.
I think when she says we should act like we don't have it, what she means is we got it good right now. We're on the gravy train, okay? And okay. I don't want to do anything to upset the apple cart.
They are logging in on YouTube TV, but Benton wants to log in and watch the U.S. versus Puerto Rico with Skeets the other day on Playback. Uh-huh. So, okay, uh-huh. So they have it, but Benton wanted to take it another step forward, wanted to progress in his relationship with his girlfriend.
As his brother, maybe, or brother-in-law, or they're not even married, but whatever, future brother-in-law, he's like, God damn it, not only do I just allow these people to mooch off me for free... And I have a limited number of people you can give it to, by the way, for YouTube TV. I'll tell you how I know that in a second.
Yeah.
Not only am I giving it to them for free, they're hassling me with the password. I guarantee this, the brother doesn't even know the password. He's got to now go scrolling through his phone like, oh, fuck, what was the password for that? You know what I mean? You're giving him an extra job when all he did was give you something for free. So I think it is annoying.
Nah, he already gave
Tess,
it to
what's
you
your,
for free.
What's your password? What's your Netflix password? You know it off the top of your head? Tell everyone it is right now.
I don't know it because I am mooching. I'm mooching
right.
Netflix.
Wow. Right. Yeah, so it would be annoying for Danielle's mom if you call her and say, what's the password? Then she's got to be like, Avi, what's the password?
That's rough, man. It's rough to say, hey, yo, what's the password? I think... You got to do it. People are so good with
passwords.
Parents
don't know the passwords to anything. That's a fact.
Yeah, old people don't know shit. But but
that's a drop.
Young people know. Young people have password managers these days.
Young people
are going to find that thing. This brother-in-law that's not a brother-in-law has got that YouTube TV password right there. somewhere. I don't think this is a big deal, and maybe it'll spark a conversation if this, you know, if he went directly to the bro-in-law instead of going
the brother-in-law would be like, playback, what's that? Yeah. Well, it's this service that allows this No Dunks, this podcast to listen to be commentating on a game.
God
now
damn,
the
that's
other
the
guy
future.
Comes
playback.
Into the playback. No, the other guy comes into playback. Now they're bonding.
Yeah.
You put him on the hot seat. That's a feature in the playback. All right, we're not here to talk about
playback.
Yeah,
but hold on. The girlfriend knows the brother better than the boyfriend.
Yeah, but maybe they're kind of estranged. Maybe they're not that close.
Exactly. So you don't ask him for the password. You just leave well enough alone. That's what you do.
You're on my side, JD. You're on Benton.
I'm on none of your sides, including Benton, because fucking grow up and pay for your services, people. I don't mooch off anything. I pay for every single one.
Oh, no, come on.
That's right. Holier than thou.
How many you got, JD? How many you paying for?
All of them. I got...
Crunchyroll? You got a Crunchyroll?
I don't have Crunchyroll.
Well, I got a Crunchyroll. I'll trade you.
What's
I'll
on Crunchyroll?
I'll trade you for... I don't know.
Anime and stuff?
Totoro?
Okay, maybe I'm interested.
Let me know if you want to get spirited away. So I have friends that have a YouTube TV subscription, right? So to them, it's important that they have it, right? Now, if it's so important to me, does it not behoove me to split it with them? Like, to be like, I use this just as much as you do. I should really be paying for half of this. Because what's the sense of you paying for it and me using it as much as you and not paying for it, right? So let's rewind to the Super Bowl last year. They've given this password to a few people. Let's say four or five people. But the truth is no one ever watches it because people don't watch live TV anymore, right? And these people are not sports fans, so they're not using it for sports. Now, the Super Bowl comes on.
Mm-hmm.
I'm expecting to be watching it at home. I know. What a loser. But I get there, turn it on. It says you've reached the maximum amount of users and I can't watch the Super Bowl, right? Then I get a text from them saying, who's on our account? Because we can't watch the Super Bowl. Ooh. That's right. The very people that are paying for the service for like five other people, suddenly everyone wants to watch the Super Bowl live and now they can't even watch. And I think the same thing happened during the Academy Awards. Mm. So that's a sort of a situation where it's like, again, you're on the gravy train. Don't make it more difficult for these people. Otherwise, they're going to start taking it away from you. Now, there was another situation where I got an alert that said, your account will run out. Or your account has run out. Now, should I have gone to them and said, hey, just so you know, you forgot to pay for, the YouTube TV this month? No, I'm not going to do that. Yes, I was disappointed. But if I'm that disappointed to the point where I'm going to point it out to them, then I need to pony up and be paying half. But why would I pay half? I'm on the gravy train. When you're on the gravy train, you don't say shit. The gravy train is like the Accela quiet car. You don't say anything on the gravy train.
That's right.
I don't know. Well, let's settle this for them. Tassie says you should ask. Don't ask. JD says you're an idiot for not paying for it for yourself.
Well, I mean.
I mean, that's the ultimate answer. Pay for it yourself. If it's too awkward to ask, pay for it yourself.
Then you have to. You have to pay.
Frankly, start the free trial and then cancel it so you can go on your precious playback to hear Tassie's thoughts on.
Free
couldn't
trials.
Think of one single NBA player there. On the high pick and roll, Jokic and Murray. There you go. That's something you want to log into playback for. And by the way, there's people that are mooching off my free services that I'd be thrilled if they lost the password because they're just fucking up my algorithm.
Exactly. How can you live with that? I mean,
I can't live with it. Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
Well, you handed it out probably, it sounds like, to too many people, just like the your original YouTube friends. They handed it out to too
many
people.
They're nice people. Yeah, they did. Honestly, they did.
Oh, that's
obvious. I hope they are listening. I hope they take those people off. Imagine that's how I find out that I'm their like fifth worst friend.
Old MySpace friend, the order. You know,
That's right. And you know Tom's taking the number one spot forever. Tom's getting free YouTube TV, and he's watching the Super Bowl.
I read a thing about...
Oh, sorry.
Sorry to interrupt. This is a...
No, I'm sorry.
A little
I'm
bit
sorry.
Of a cool story, bro, but I read this thing about a guy who was sharing Netflix with his girlfriend. Have you heard this? Mm-hmm. And they broke up. Mm-hmm. He moved out, and then he changed his profile name to Settings on... the Netflix profile. So now when she pulls it up, it just says her name and then Settings.
Oh, that's pretty
funny.
And
then that she doesn't know that his username is settings. Anyways, that's a little tip for Benton if he ever falls out with his family. Also, hey, Benton.
That wouldn't work for Tass's friend, Dave Settings.
Benton, also, if you want that password so bad, why don't you put a ring on it, and then you'll be actually in the family, and then it will be less awkward for you to ask for the password. You know what I'm saying? Because you're actually fam.
I like that. It's, you know, in the old days, it used to be like, I'm getting married because, like, so I could finally have sex. You know, now it's like, yeah, I'm going to get married so I could finally ask for the YouTube TV password.
Hold on. Right, hold on.
Oh, God, dude, I got Jesus.
You can screw off with your keeping it tight segments.
I really don't care. I don't care. No, keep going.
Two things. First, I didn't catch why changing his profile name to settings matters. What I don't
so get. She doesn't know that he's there mooching.
Yeah,
off of her.
And she, I guess his gamble is that she never goes into the change the settings, or she doesn't have to go into the settings.
But it's a profile icon.
I know. I think he changed it to with a gear. Like there's a like a.
That's really smart.
It's,
I'm sorry,
but
that's
really
smart.
No, but it's a different interface.
No, it's really smart.
There's no way you can confuse a regular icon and its location and the menu. For
disagree.
A settings.
I'm saying that
disagree.
The thing that
people
I,
that are not yeah. tech literate would be confused by yeah. that. 100%.
Yeah.
Oh, come on. She's not old. She does know shit. She can understand what the screen looks like. Second, speaking of friends of ours, the other day, JD said Dave Winfield instead of Dave Weinfeld, your friend, Matt Austin. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So I wanted
now that's a person that's mooching off definitely a few of my accounts. And, let's put it this way. He's got some interesting taste.
Yeah, the algo. I wouldn't want Weinfeld's algo. I get that. That's not cool. That's not cool.
You're talking about one of our goats here, guys.
Yeah, I know.
That's
yeah.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, he may Tess, be mooching off you, but
fans.
He's giving
you, don't
you a
insult
pat
our
Rion.
Fans.
Yeah.
Okay?
I got you.
All right.
And what about Ryan Settings? What about him?
Before I move on and get embarrassed for the third time.
No, I'm good to go.
Okay, JD, good to go?
I'm good.
All right, here we go, Tassie. Not everyone's going to agree with everything you say, but sometimes when you believe something deeply to your core, you have to stand alone on the edge of popular consensus. It's time for Unpopular Opinions. If you've strongly held beliefs that most people disagree with, email them to me at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Normally, I take these from the Unpopular Opinion subreddit, but someone wrote in with a good one.
Hmm.
This is from Patrick B. Here's his unpopular opinion, and gird your loins, because people are going to be upset. There's too much cream in an Oreo. All right, Patrick continues. Oreo offers 26 variations of their flagship cookie, yet there is not an option for reduced cream filling. Yes, they offer thins, but the cookie proportion is also reduced. With the standard cookie, they have double stuff. They also have mega stuff. Please, Oreo, release half stuff.
Hmm.
So, anyone on board? Tass, you on board with this unpopular opinion? You think there's too much cream in an Oreo? Or do they got that white stuff baby?
Back when we worked at NBA TV, you used to go from our loft office. Mm-hmm. You'd tiptoe down those stairs because you didn't want anyone knowing you're grabbing some Oreos. But you would grab a package of Oreo thins.
Yes, love the thins.
Yes, as Patrick B. mentioned, the cookie is thinner, less cream.
Mm-hmm.
But you love the ratio.
I enjoyed the ratio. I also, people think that just it's the same cookie but thinner. It's not. It's a different kind of cookie. It has a different mouthfeel. Has a different crunch to it. Patrick is saying that he could go for the thins, but then the proportion of cookie to cream is still even. He just wants less cream, same amount of cookie.
Right.
Yeah. I understand where Patrick's coming from. I think they've got it down. I think the proportions are great.
Yeah, I've honestly never heard. But then again, I don't know. I guess before they started making double stuff and mega stuff, were people saying, I like Oreos, but I wish there was more indistinguishable white cream inside of it. I guess people were.
Yeah.
But no one in the history of Oreo has said, we'd like less of this stuff.
you're telling me the thins pay off for me in this for Patrick because there is less cream.
Yes,
but there's less cookie.
But there's less cookie.
There's less cookie. Make your own.
This is really blowing your mind.
There's less cookie for sure. It's a thinner cookie. It's a thinner cream. I think you get everything you want. I mean,
Patrick.
I think you've hit it spot on, Tess. You got to make your own. Like, you deconstruct all. You empty the package. You deconstruct all of them. You take all of that. This is a TikTok video. I'm sure of it. You throw it in a mixer. You whip up all the cream. Then you toss half of it, and then you reconstruct all of the Oreos and put them back in the package or in a cookie jar or whatever.
Problem solved. This is like scooping out a New York bagel.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly right.
But even if he was to open an original cookie, an original Oreo and a thin, and just scoop the amount from the thin onto his original cookies.
Right.
Isn't that what he wants? Isn't that what he's looking for? The amount of the thin cream with the original cookies?
Yes. Yeah. That's why JD's saying.
Yeah. But that's a lot of work, JD.
Thins are like taking the cream off of a thin and putting it on a regular one is way more work.
Oh, okay.
Isn't it?
Well, it's funny you should say this, JD, because I once pulled what I consider to be my greatest prank. And when I say that, it just made me laugh the hardest. It made no one else laugh very hard. But here's what happened. I was over at your house, Tass, your old house, okay? Mm-hmm. The house that didn't used to be like this, right? There's a party going on. Mm-hmm. I go towards the pantry. I see there's a open box of Oreo cookies with about, let's say, 12 cookies left. And I decide, I don't know, it comes to me in a flash, JD. This is about probably six, 7 years ago. I go, I'm gonna open every single Oreo cookie. And then I'm going to just put the cream, stack the creams all on top of each other, and then put one cookie on one end and the other cookie on another, so that it spans the entire length of the box, right? So you got cookie, cream, top. Then I put the cover back on the pack of Oreos. I came outside and I said something like, wow, they're really putting a lot more cream in these Oreos, huh? And people were like, yeah, oh, well, did you get the double stuff? I was like, yeah, but it's like a lot more than you think. They're like, I've seen it. It's a lot. It's not that much. And I go, oh, really? And JD, I sent you the picture. There it is. If that's not comedy, you see how hard I'm laughing. I guarantee you no one else is laughing nearly as hard as I am. But now the way they're going with mega stuff, this could be a realistic vision of a future Oreo cookie.
Sure.
Which is frightening to me, to be honest.
Yeah, how did you pull that off so neatly? You scooped it off so well that your I don't know what to call that, your octuple stuff. No, it's like that's probably like
no. That's 16. A 12. That's at least 12 to 15 stuffs.
It's like quite the operation in a party. Like, where did you go? Where did you do this?
It was just in that little pantry kind of hallway. I'm there doing it. I hear something like, did Matt go home? I'm like, oh, wait till they get a load of what I've been doing. Very, very little payoff, but hey, at least we have that picture.
No. People remember that. That was your like 6 month food comedy run, I think. Within
I was doing a lot of food comedy back in the day. Yeah, people hated it.
Yeah, I'm fine with you did me a service. Because there's no way I was going to eat that Oreo thing, but I would have eaten regular Oreos. It's like getting out of your car, going up to the Maybach, and saying, you should go somewhere else. You said, well, the person in the car said, do you have any Grey Poupon? But what you should have said is, go somewhere else for your nourishment. And that's what you did for me, so I appreciate that. Those Oreo packages, by the way, those are brilliant. They've evolved.
Oh, the resealable.
The way you can open
from the top.
The flat side.
Because it's more... It's easier to eat a row of cookies that way, right?
Mm-hmm. A sleeve. We call them sleeves of cookies in the industry, Tass, but shows that you've never eaten an entire one.
Yeah, because you literally ruined my pack of Oreos.
So no. There was no... I don't want people thinking that the food comedy leads to food waste. As soon as I stopped laughing, I ate that whole cookie. No, I didn't. It went right in the trash. Tried to give it to people. They said, you literally opened all of these with your dirty fingers. I said, That's a fair point. Tass, yes. I want to ask you one more question while you're here, because it's a real honor to have you here, because Jay Skeets often calls you the best driver he knows. So let's get to this unpopular opinion. It's very, very simple. Driving is too easy. So this person, this is from Reddit, they continue, driving a car is a privilege. Oh, sorry. Rephrase. Driving a car is treated like a privilege when it should be an earned skill. It's almost as though the governments are trying to be too inclusive by trying to allow everyone to drive. There is no reason every single person needs to have a driver's license and a car. So this person obviously saying, you know, I don't know. They're definitely not saying this, but I'm saying this. Like, you can get a gun real easy. No, wait, what am I? I'm sort of saying the opposite of this. What am I saying, JD? This person's saying it's too easy to drive a car.
It's too easy.
You take one test, you take two tests, a written one, then you're in the car. You back up, you go the speed limit, you look in your blind spot, now you're driving a car. And he's saying, when I drive, there's too many shitty drivers on the road, and I bet if there was a more stringent process, there would be less deaths and less accidents. So Tass, as the best driver in the world, what do you think? Is driving too easy?
Well, it's funny you say that I'm the best driver in the world, because I've degraded 100%. My skill set has degraded, and I like this idea of more testing. Even though initially I balk at it, sounds ridiculous. Hated the fact that when I moved to America as a 30-year-old man, I had to do retesting. I hated that. However, it is good to re-up your skills. It's not skill. Skills is the wrong word. Just a reminder of, hey, you know, there are rules to the road, and you should follow them.
Tess, if you're parking uphill on a hill, which way should your tires be facing?
To the curb.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Your skills are great.
This guy's great.
No, and that never happens. No one ever parks on hills. Anyway.
I park on hills all the time, man. It's Los Angeles, baby. We're surrounded by mountains.
So what the emailer is saying, it's too easy and your skills degrade. And I'm with him. Listen, you used to get on me for picking up my phone occasionally while I was driving.
Occasionally?
You're right to do so.
And you stopped doing that now?
Oh, no. I'm way better at it now.
Okay. So your skills are improving.
I live in Atlanta.
Yeah. Do you have Apple CarPlay?
I'm one with the people. Oh, as in voice to text?
Well, yeah, but Apple CarPlay, where your sort of interface of your phone appears on your screen.
Oh, yeah, I got that, dog.
Okay, so why do you need to be looking at your phone?
Is there Slack on your Apple CarPlay? It doesn't have every app.
Why are you using Slack, Tassie? Because the workday has already started and you're running a bit late?
No.
At the drive-thru, trying to start a pay-it-forward chain?
driving is too easy.
Yeah, it is 100%. I agree with that. My solution is to ban all automatic cars. And you gotta drive a stick. It's too easy. It's just like, hit pedal, go. Hit other pedal, stop. No. We're not go-karting out there. We're driving vehicles.
That's interesting. I mean, I don't like when he says governments are trying to be too inclusive by trying to allow everyone to drive. There's no reason every single person needs a driver's license. I mean, in most American cities, sorry, but there is a reason that almost everyone needs a car. Public transit shit, and people need to get to their jobs. People need to go to the grocery store. Mm-hmm. Can't think of any other reason people would need to get in a car, but those are two good reasons.
No, every single individual is allowed to have a car. You're going to infringe on my freedoms, man? But,
that's right.
But
should be maybe harder.
Maybe harder.
A clutch is harder. It's you have to be more engaged. You have more control over the vehicle. Here's the problem. You can't have an electric car with a clutch. That's not how they work. But you could make one.
You can't have a manual self-driving car either, which is that might solve some of this commenter's problems.
Yeah.
He's going to want the computers to retest every now and then.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
You know, if I would have applied myself, I could have gone to the NBA.
You think so?
Yeah, I think so. But it's just like, it's been done. You know, I didn't want to, I was like, I don't want to be a follower. Hi, I'm Jason Concepcion.
And I'm Shea Serrano. And we are back. We have a new podcast from Wondery. It's called Six Trophies.
Woo!
And it's the f***ing best.
Each week, Shea Serrano and I are combing through all the NBA storylines, finding the best, most interesting, most compelling stories, and then handing out six pop culture-themed trophies for six basketball-related activities.
Trophies like the Dominic Toretto, I Live My Life a Quarter Mile at a Time trophy, which is given to someone who made a short-term decision with no regard for future consequence.
Or the Christopher Nolan Tenet trophy, which is given to someone who did something that we didn't understand.
Catalina Wine Mixer trophy.
Ooh, the Lauryn Hill, you might win some, but you just lost one trophy. And what's more, the NBA playoffs are here, so you want to make Six Trophies your go-to companion podcast through all the craziness. Follow Six Trophies on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcasts. Listen ad-free right now by joining Wondery Plus.
All right, Tassie, there's only one thing left to do, and that's play Subjective Trivia. Subjective Trivia, it's just like regular trivia, except only I know the answer. So, Tass, earlier we were talking about Oreo cookies, which, in my opinion, I would say that one of the best store-bought cookies, like, you know, mass-produced store-bought cookies, but
is
even
it
if they're
cookie?
Not your favorite.
Is it a cookie?
What the hell else would it be?
A sandwich.
Oh my god.
There's cream in there.
Tass, you know how hard I have to, on the show, avoid doing like...
Yeah.
You know, is
okay,
cereal a soup?
No,
so
okay.
Don't come at me.
I wouldn't say, I wouldn't call it a sandwich, but it's, you know, it's not really a cookie.
Okay, well, there's a more interesting debate to be had
sandwich.
About what is and isn't
sure.
a cookie. But anyways, let me continue my spiel here.
Yeah, sorry about that.
We talked about Oreos. Let's take Oreos out of the mix, okay? The question today is, which of these cookies would I be most upset if you brought them to my house?
Ooh, okay.
Now, not upset in the way that you might think, like, oh, I'm upset you left these cookies here. Now I have to eat them all because they're so delicious. Upset because I'm like, that's a garbage cookie. I'm offended that you've wasted my time, all right? So I'm going to give you five options.
I'm looking at some tasty cookies.
Tate's chocolate chips. Right, Tate's are those very super thin ones. Nutter Butters, another treat that I learned I loved at the office, Tassie, when I was tiptoeing down those stairs, eating a Nutter Butter. A Biscoff, the Delta Airlines classic. Some people don't know, but those cookies, you can get them on land. Chips Ahoy, maybe the most classic cookie. And an Animal Cracker. Now, I will ask you, do you think an Animal Cracker is a cookie? Because I think there's no debate, it's absolutely a cookie. It is not a cracker. It is somewhat thin, but it is very sweet, and crackers are not sweet. So what do you think?
Yeah, I'm with you. Sweet equals cookie. Did you say?
Okay, so you're okay with me calling an Animal Cracker a cookie?
Even though they're called
Even
crackers.
It's called a cracker.
Yeah.
I know, but it's just, so what?
So what? I agree.
Sea lion's not a lion. You know, I've said that before.
That's a great line.
Thanks. Which of the cookies would I be most upset if you brought to my house? And if you want, you could just tell me which one you think you would most like to bring to my house.
You want to see them again? Here they are.
I'm writing them down.
Oh, okay.
All right, you got Tate's, you got Nutter Butter.
Yeah.
You got Biscoff.
Yeah,
you got Chips Ahoy. And you got Barnum's Animal Crackers.
Well, how do you want me to do this? You want me to do a little deduction here? Process of deduction?
As I always say to our guests, you're trying to, you know, our answers are trying to match. My answer is right here.
Okay, there's no way
to always consult with JD, because I'm on the show twice a week with him. Go to Use His Good Feet to get the second show. But he's normally locked in to the group mind, so I would consult him.
Unless you're messing around, it's definitely not Nutter Butter, because as you said, you tiptoe down those stairs and either get an Oreo thin or a Nutter Butter, so it's not that. Mm-hmm. The Eric Bischoff cookie, that's a wrestling reference that I didn't know I was going to make. Those are so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think with your enhanced palate, Matt, your grown-up palate, you're going to like it. You've got to love a Bischoff.
Okay.
You're a big city dweller. Tate's are a New York cookie.
Mm-hmm.
But you may hate that crispiness of a Tate.
No. He loves thins.
Yeah.
The Oreo thins.
That's a good call.
Which are crispy and delicious.
So Chips Ahoy or Animal Crackers? animal cookies, as they call
them. And it's not animal crackers. Why would he put animal crackers the list?
Only to tear them down.
Man, this guy knows you.
It's Chips Ahoy. It's gotta be.
Because he would immediately eat them all. Throw them out.
No, I told you that's not why.
Yeah, you're right.
What are the parameters again, Matt?
I would be upset if you brought these over. You'd leave and I'd turn to Jill and be like, the fuck did they bring these for?
I guess the anger with seeing a Chips Ahoy on your counter would be like, am I some sort of basic bitch?
Yeah,
you just bring it a Chips Ahoy?
Do I live in a dorm?
Yeah.
It's the worst cookie by a mile of this list, for sure, I think.
Well, it's better.
I mean, why would you have two chocolate chip cookies? You got Tate's, which is high-end gourmet shit if you're in a Publix or a Sainsbury's.
Are there Sainsbury's in Atlanta now?
No. I don't know why I said Sainsbury's.
If you're going to an Aldi, if you're going to a Tesco.
Well, we've got an international audience.
Give me your answer, please, guys.
Yeah. You're right. You said the worst cookie is the Chips Ahoy, but the worst cookie is the animal cracker cookie.
Yes, I agree, but I think that he likes
it. He likes them, or it's just a curveball? You think he'd snack on it?
Yeah, I do.
Snack on a crack?
I think I've seen him.
An animal snacker?
I think we have seen him eat animal crackers.
You know, they're underrated. They're all right.
Yeah.
Yeah, so the answer is most likely Chips Ahoy cookies, yes.
Let's go Chips Ahoy. Final answer.
Okay. Now, Tassie, I told you to consult JD. And he got you right there, but unfortunately, he didn't take you to the promised land because he's wrong. Tate's!
Get out of here!
Get him out of here! Those are gross!
No.
What, I want to chip a tooth on a cookie? They taste like shit! And they're gourmet, so they're bragging they're from Southampton, New York, like one of the richest places in America. Like, I'm just, like, oh, buy our Beverly Hills jerky? I don't want a cookie made by the richest people in America. Okay? I want a salt of the earth. I want people like Mrs. Fields baking me cookies.
Nabisco?
Yes, I want Keebler Elves. I want them to step out
big
of their
cookie.
Dream.
You're in Big Cookie's pocket. Hey, you want to see something? Here.
Yeah. Oh, I thought you were going to show me your ass or something.
Whoa.
Look at this.
You, Benedict Arnold. You're telling me you like those?
I don't like them. I love
Can
them.
Can you bite into one now and just describe the taste for me, please? You could spit it out if it doesn't comport with your diet.
Yeah, they got to open it.
This is
YouTube right here. We got a man opening up a package of Tate's cookies that he randomly has behind him. Do you have other snacks behind you? Well, why do you have snacks?
Rachel hides them from the kids over here.
Oh, well, Lincoln listens to the show, so.
So now he knows. Okay.
Your kids also wake up at 5 a.m. every day to go to the gym.
Not.
I think they can have thin,
look
sophisticated, rich-ass cookie. Yeah, looks like shit.
No, it's
hard as a rock. Now, can you tear it apart next to the microphone just so we can hear how brittle it is?
Did you hear that?
Ugh.
That's great ASMR.
I heard the crumbles hitting your desk.
Mmm.
Like a Nature Valley bar.
It's delicious. I don't know what your problem is.
I hate it.
Ugh. Compared to a Chips Ahoy, which is basically just crumbs, like, formed together.
I know, but it's an American classic. Like, this question, which cookies would I be upset if you were out to my house? This is a real life situation. When I used to have people over to my pool in Atlanta, people would bring a bag of chips, a bag of cookies. Someone in our group of friends that shall remain nameless, she is a woman, she is married to one of you, she is Laura Kirby, would bring the Tates over, and she would think she was doing a nice thing. These cookies are more expensive than all these nice things, than all these other store-bought cookies. You know? She thought she was elevating, classing it up.
She was.
She should have brought over the Nutter Butters.
And I looked at them and I was like, oh, this is like a Pepperidge Farm, right? This is like elevated cookie. I took one bite.
Yeah. It's a unique cookie.
I had to dunk them in the pool, JD, just to soften them up a little. Luckily, it was just salt water.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. That's the answer.
That's great. That was great. I loved every second of that. Because it's a polarizing cookie, because there's no soft part. Where's the softness?
Yeah, it is crispy. I am stunned and shocked that you don't like them. Well, you love the minis, the Oreo minis, which are just as crispy, if not crispier than those. What about an animal cracker? Hard as rock sometimes.
I know, but...
But what?
But there's softness. Even a hard animal cracker, there, at least in the middle, there's a little give.
And I would say the crunch is the point.
Yeah.
Of the animal cracker, it shouldn't be the point of a cookie to be that brittle. It's not a biscotti.
It's hardly a biscotti. It's a delicious.
To tie it back into my Big Fat Greek Wedding, it's not those cookies that Tass used to bring in that were very hard, that he said were exclusively to dip in coffee. Mm. What are those called?
That's a biscotti.
They're called cookies.
No, come on.
No, they are. it's like your conversation with Cam Stewart last week about the original Kleenex is now tissues.
Mm-hmm.
The Greek cookie, that's the standard cookie, I think. I think those are the cookies you're referring to.
Yeah, but I thought there were specific.
And the brand name is no. Are you talking about the white powder? The white stuff?
Yeah.
Those are curabiedes.
Okay, thank you.
I thought you were talking about cookies.
Tess, if we don't normalize Greek words for the people,
yeah, right.
We're never going to have a big fat Greek wedding.
I mean,
you
said biscotti has nothing to do with curabiedes.
But it's a hard cookie dipping.
They're not that hard.
Okay. We've offended him. Tess, what do you think's a better ending to a show? Subjective trivia or tweet of the week? Or tweet of the night? What do you think's a better ending?
Great question. Tweet of the night, probably.
Oh, okay, great. Tess, where can people find you? Anything to promote?
I've been trying to move on from Tweet of the Night for a long time, but it just keeps
I think it's a great kicker, as we say in the industry.
And I gotta change it to X of the Night.
X of the Night.
Button.
It can go anywhere. It's not even Tweet of the Night anyway.
Yeah, sometimes you're pulling an Instagram, you're pulling a TikTok.
Sometimes, maybe we'll do a little subjective trivia.
Well, sometimes I have to admit on subjective trivia, I end up doing objective trivia. Right?
Trivia?
That's happened before.
Trivia's fun. Trivia's fun.
Always fun. Yeah. All right, Tass, I am going to need an answer on whether you have anything to promote.
I don't.
Okay, great. Thanks for coming.
Wait, hold on. You do a show called No Bunts every Wednesday morning.
Do you like baseball? People like baseball these days. They serve cookies at baseball games. Mm. Get your cookies!
Now, is an ice cream sandwich a cookie? Because it does have cookie on the outside. Mm, ice cream on the inside. It is called a sandwich.
Oh, I thought you wanted to get away from those segments.
Stay tuned to the next episode of Is This Good? Where we will find out if an ice cream sandwich is
a thicker Oreo.
No, because what's in the middle of an Oreo is not ice cream.
It's a cream.
Remember to check us out on Patreon, patreon.com/isthisgood. I'm going to do the classic sign-off that everyone knows and loves, Tass. So if you have something to say,
you better say it now. I know.
Because if you interrupt me during the classic sign-off that everyone knows and loves, people feel very incomplete if I don't say it.
No, you're right. I'll shut up now.
If you have topics, email us at isthisgoodpod@gmail.com. Remember to rate us on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe on YouTube. Thanks for listening. Thanks to JD. Thanks to Tass for coming on, the best driver I know. Thanks in advance for leaving a 5-star review. For everyone, I'm Matt Austin, and this was good.
Yeah, it was.
See you next week.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic.
See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code The Athletic and you'll get a 1-year subscription to The Athletic plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.